The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I thought that a good topic would be to talk about friendship, Buddhism and friendship. And Rainbow was a good friend to our community and a friend to many people here, and we were an important friend for her. And friendship is a really central and really important practice, activity, relationship in Buddhism. It's really, I wouldn't say it's the heart of Buddhism, but it's in terms of an external condition that supports the path of practice. Friendship is considered to be one of the most important conditions for supporting Buddhist practice for anybody doing it. And cultivating good friends, having good practice friends, people who you can share your practice with, is really indispensable. It doesn't have to be a lot, but have a few. I would say for myself that without having friends on the path, I would have barely begun the path. I probably wouldn't have gotten very far. But I was blessed to have many friends who were also involved in the practice, many friends who were further than me in the practice, and I was inspired and guided by them, and many friends who were companions on the path, kind of similar places in the practice. And it was really important to have those relationships to support me and for me to support them and kind of work together as we go along. Buddhism has a reputation, I think, of focusing on meditation a lot. And meditation is, when you close your eyes, is seen as kind of a solitary activity. And sometimes people will pick out of the great corpus of Buddhist teachings those teachings which emphasize solitude. There's certainly an important place for solitude in Buddhism. Spiritual path is also said to mature well in contemplative solitude. And so we go on retreats a lot, silent retreats, where we kind of don't engage in a lot of social activity. Sometimes it's silent, it's really solitary retreats people go on. But those solitary retreats, those periods of solitude, are periods of solitude in a ocean of relationships. Most of us spend much of our time in the world of relationships, and cultivating those relationships, caring for them, developing them, is considered a very, very important part of the Buddhist path. And it's often overlooked. That's the case. I've read that there's a trend in America for people to have fewer and fewer friends. That seems to be the direction of our society, except for Facebook. And I wonder if there's a kind of relationship, inverse relationship, between having the number of friends you have on Facebook and the number of real friends, quality friends that one has. And I think a friend that really, there's different kinds of friends, many different kinds of friends to be had, and they're all valuable, but there are kind of special friends, people who for whom will sacrifice a lot for you, friends that you would sacrifice a lot for them, people that you're really willing to share some of the most intimate parts of your life, the most secret parts of your life, or more private parts of your life, and really things you grapple with. And there are friends that you're not going to do that kind of deep sharing with. There are friends who will give you sound advice, will give you advice that you'd rather not have, and will, and maybe friends that allow you to have that role in their life, that you can tell them when you think they're off and something needs to be addressed. There is a very famous passage that we quote a lot in our tradition from the suttas, where Ananda, who was the Buddha's kind of attendant for many years, his cousin as well, came to the Buddha, seemingly quite excited one day, and said to the Buddha, "Oh, I understand that half of the spiritual life is having good, is having, they're usually translated as good spiritual friends. The literal term means could be translated as, there's nothing spiritual in the original language, but it's lovely friends or beautiful friends, friends who are connected to that which is most lovely, meaning not physically beautiful or lovely, but rather in their hearts, their inner life is beautiful, that's connected to the spiritual life, is what's meant. And the Buddha says, oh no, Ananda, it's not the case. The entire spiritual life is dependent on friendship with what is beautiful. And there's a pun here, or play of words, because in Pali, the expression good spiritual friends, and the expression, that word, kalyanamitta, can be translated both as good spiritual friends and as friendship with what is spiritually good. Or beautiful friends, or lovely friends, and friendship with what is lovely or beautiful. So, because it's a little bit odd to say that the entire spiritual life is depending on having good spiritual friends. So I think what the Buddha was doing was he was kind of agreeing, basically, but kind of saying, oh yes, it's the case. But actually, he was kind of playing with the word pun, since both meanings are allowed, and saying, actually, the whole spiritual life is friendship with what is beautiful, is lovely. But that this expression is held up, this little dialogue is held up many, many times in Buddhism as emphasizing how important it is to have good spiritual friends, friends who are beautiful or lovely, or this word kalyana, whatever that means. And you find a very powerful statement by the Buddha emphasizing the importance of friendship when he said the precursor for the Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path stands for the Buddhist path, walking the Buddhist path, entering the Buddhist path for oneself. The precursor for that, the supporter of that, the condition that most supports that, external condition that most supports that, is good spiritual friendship. So, how to have that? What does it mean to have it? There is a famous story also of a monk named Meghiya. And Meghiya, this story is told twice in the canon because it's so important, probably. And Meghiya was attending to the Buddha. And perhaps the Buddha was getting kind of old and needed an attendant. And they were out about one day. And they came across a beautiful grove of mango trees. And Meghiya saw this beautiful contemplative grove, and he said to himself, this is a good place to meditate. So he went to the Buddha and said, could I have permission to go on retreat in this grove of trees to meditate? And the Buddha says, oh, this is not the time yet. Maybe because he was attending the Buddha. And so Meghiya said, well, you know, you've finished your spiritual work. You know, and I haven't. And this is a really good place for me to meditate. Please give me permission. And the Buddha said, please, Meghiya, it's not the time. And so Meghiya asks a third time. And there's a custom, apparently, in time of the Buddha, that if you ask the Buddha something three times, he acquiesces. So he said, Meghiya asked again, the Buddha said, okay, as you wish. So Meghiya goes to his grove and starts to meditate. And after a while, he comes back to the Buddha, and he says, Buddha, it's really amazing. This beautiful grove of trees, I had the time, I sat down to meditate, I had the intention, I had the motivation to practice, and I sat down, and I just couldn't meditate. My mind was so busy and engaged, and I just couldn't get, it was really amazing. And the Buddha said, The Buddha said, Meghiya, there are five conditions that support spiritual practice. And you need to have these conditions well enough established so it to make sense for you to go off on retreat this way. The first condition you need to have is you need to have good spiritual friends. You need to have some connection to other people who are also spiritual, engaged in the path that you're on. It's a little bit ambiguous what exactly this means, because the tradition has two meanings for good spiritual friends. One is someone, a fellow companion on the path with you, and another is someone who is further along than you are on the path. So exactly what the Buddha meant here is not so clear, but having a good friend is really important. The second, and that's the main emphasis here, but didn't list the other four. The second is to be virtuous, to live an ethical life, so that when you sit down to meditate, your ethical behavior doesn't come to keep you agitated, which it will. If you might not believe it, but just you wait. And then the third is to be able to have Dharma discussions easily. So be able to talk about the path and talk about practice in an easy way with other people. And the fourth is to be able to have some ability to self-monitor one's state of mind. So enough so that you could foster states of mind which are healthy and helpful, and that you can avoid those states of mind which are unhelpful and unhealthy for you. And the fourth condition that allows for progress in the path is to have a really deep appreciation of impermanence, how things are always changing, how short life is, how quickly things come to an end. And those five conditions are really supportive. Then when you have those in good in place, then when you sit down to meditate, the conditions are much more favorable for being able to practice. But the first one was having good friends. So the Buddha said, "What is good friendship?" This is the word kalyanamitta again. Bhikkhu Bodhi translates as good friendship. Here, in whatever village or town a person dwells, he or she associates with others, whether young or old, who are of mature virtue, accomplished in faith, virtue, generosity, and wisdom. He converses with them and engages in discussion with them. And then he or she emulates those people in regard to their accomplishment in faith, virtue, generosity, and wisdom. This is called good friendship. So good friendship is to have friendship with people. He doesn't say that they're Buddhists, but he says they're people who are virtuous, they have, they're generous, they have wisdom, and they have a certain kind of faith, some kind of confidence that is meaningful. And then one emulates those people. You emulate them in those qualities. And I think it's very significant. He says, in those qualities. You're not supposed to dress like them or take on their mannerisms or, you know, join their religion or political party. But to the degree to which people are virtuous, follow that example. To the degree to which these people that inspire you are generous, follow that example. To the degree to which they're wise. So that's how one definition of good friendship in the Buddhist tradition. And then there's another one. Let's see. A friend should be followed when he or she possesses seven factors. What seven? He or she gives what is difficult to give. He or she does what is difficult to do. He or she patiently endures what is difficult to endure. He or she reveals his or her own secrets. That person keeps one's own secrets. That person does not abandon one in misfortune and does not despise one because of one's loss. So I think the last ones were quite significant, I thought. Really keeps one's secrets. You know, if you say something in confidence, you expect to keep it in confidence. That's a friend. And if you have an unfortunate circumstances in your life, you get sick or all kinds of misfortune, then your friend doesn't forget you or abandon you. And if you have some loss. So those are good friends. So this is, you know, at least one definition here that the Buddha gives. So as I said earlier, there are different kinds of friendship. There's a kind of peer friendships, and then there's friendships that have with someone who's further along with you in the path. And the most common way that someone's further along in the path is called a friend, Kalyanamita, good friend, good spiritual friend. Rather, in our tradition, it's called a friend rather than a guru. So the idea that people who are teachers more, and there's a spectrum, a range from being a friend to being a guru. In our tradition, Buddhist tradition, we're on that far end of the spectrum where we're friends more than gurus. Partly because the relationships that are being fostered in Buddhism are ones of adult relationships, adult to adult, much more than the idea of, you know, you don't see someone as a child. In some spiritual traditions, it's a little more the child, kind of adult relationship that's emphasized, explicitly or implicitly. And in Buddhism, it's more adult to adult, so you're expected to be an adult, adult learning. And then as adults, we teachers meet each other, students meet each other in that kind of respectful kind of capacity. And then there's a discourse that the Buddha gave called the advice to, usually translated as advice to lay people. It's called the Sigalaka Sutta. And in it, the Buddha talks quite a bit about friendship. And here, Buddha says, there are four types of people who can be seen to be loyal friends. The friend who is a helper is one. The friend who is the same in happy and unhappy times is one. The friend who points out what is good for you is one. And the friend who is sympathetic is one. The helpful, then it's going to define those four. So the helpful friend can be seen to be a loyal friend in four ways. He or she looks after you when you are inattentive. He or she looks after your possessions when you are inattentive. He or she is a refuge when you are afraid. And when some business is to be done, he or she lets you have twice what you ask for. So you can, a refuge when you're afraid. A friend who is the same in happy and unhappy times can be seen to be a loyal friend in four ways. He or she tells you his secrets. He or she guards your secrets. He or she does not let you down in misfortune. The next one is quite significant. He or she would even sacrifice his or her life for you. Isn't that something? So are there people for whom you would do that for? Or something close to that? Do a major sacrifice for. The friend who points out what is good for you can be seen to be a loyal friend in four ways. He or she keeps you from wrongdoing. He or she supports you in doing good. He or she informs you of what you did not know. And he or she points out the path for you. And then the sympathetic friend can be seen to be a loyal friend in four ways. He or she does not rejoice in your misfortune. He or she rejoices in your good fortune. He or she stops others who speak against you. And he or she commends others to speak in praise of you. So that's nice. Commends others to speak in praise of you. But and then the Buddha also said that said that the near enemy of friendship of a friend. A near enemy in this Buddhist tradition is a quality or a situation that looks like a good thing, but it's actually the opposite. And so the near enemy of friendship is flattery. So the value of friendship, in Buddhism at least, overrides many of the values that people sometimes will popularly hold up as being important. So for example, friendship is considered more valuable than money, more valuable than worldly success, material success, more valuable than your job and your promotions. And so that's an interesting statement. So in terms of your life, you look at your life and what you hold up as about being valuable, in the scale of what's valuable, where does friendship fit in? And how important is friendship to you? And if it's important, if you see it's important, how much do you cultivate and develop it? How much do you leave it to chance that friendship just happens? Or how much is something that has to be intentionally engaged in and cultivated and nurtured and supported? There are some cultures where it takes a long time to become a good friend with someone. But when you finally, when it's finally accomplished, then the person's really a friend for life. Other cultures where people are really easy to be friendly. And just you meet them on the street and they're quite friendly and warm. But then the next day they've forgotten you. And it's quite when those two cultures meet, it's quite confusing, especially for the people who they wait a long time before they establish good friends. It's kind of confusing when they don't understand what's happening when someone is so warm and friendly one day and not the next. So what does it take to cultivate friendship, and how much of it is intentional, where it actually takes effort and time, in the sense that it's a practice to develop? And that practice comes back to you with great benefit and support. It also allows you to support others and bring benefit to them. What are the qualities of friendship that are important? I think of acceptance as one, someone who kind of has certain kind of acceptance of you, who really loves you or cares for you or has this friendship for you, regardless of many things. A warmth, someone who has interest and cares about you. Someone's interested in you and cares about you. And then I think one of the primary practices that supports friendship is being able to listen to others, to hear them, to really find out what's going on with them, to be interested in them. I'm kind of fond of, the rules for the Benedictine, I think it's the Benedictine order of Christianity. St. Benedict's kind of rules that he wrote down. The first word in his document where he writes out the rules of the order, and I guess in Latin it says ascolta, which means listen. The first thing you should do is learn to listen. So I think one of the great blessings of having a large community like IMC here, see how many people here today, is that the kind of way we're set up is we're set up so that people can relate to this the practice here and the place here in many different ways. And we want it to be that way, that some people find it most meaningful to come here and be completely anonymous. And I remember some years ago someone came here and said, this is the only place I can go in public where I'm together with people and they leave me alone. You know, except maybe the bus or something. But and then other people who come here and they want much more community and be connected with people. And so it's set up here, I hope, hopefully, so the whole range of from wanting to be solitary when you're coming here and wanting to be social when you're being here is available. And it's very important that it's that range. But for those of you who are, this talk is meaningful, the idea that friendship is meaningful, then I hope that you will cultivate your friends that you have and see them as being valuable and important, but also that you think about reaching out to some people who are on the same spiritual path as you, so that you begin having some, be able to talk with people and converse with people and share with people. And so you can develop friendships, at least one friend or a few friends, of people who are engaged in the same exploration as you. So that, as the Buddha said to Maggia, you have easy access to talk about the Dharma with your friends. And so we have a large community here with many different kinds of people. And perhaps you'll find some people here if you make some effort. Rainbow was a real inspiration for me because of her persistence, for many reasons. Her persistence. She was very loyal to this community and to us. And it was a loyalty that was tested a lot of times because, as with everybody, there's in a community, there are times when there are sparks or disagreements. And Rainbow always came back, always returned, was here, was here, was here. And the sense of her warmth and her dedication and her willingness to kind of work through the difficulties was always here. And so this wonderful depth of connection was able to develop for many people here with Rainbow and Rainbow to us because of that persistence of hanging in there, having the acceptance, that interest, that caring, and that offer, that support that she gave us so many times. So I think it's, I would, you know, like to remember Rainbow as one of our most dear friends and good spiritual friends for whom we will always kind of be nourished by, always, and who we are as a community has been nourished by her and with many other friends here. And as we continue on our way, in our path here at IMC, Rainbow's nourishment will continue to feed us. So may we all be good spiritual friends for each other. So thank you all very much. And those of you who are going to stay for the memorial dinner or lunch, if you can help set up a little bit, that would be great. And thank you all.